From Malvern Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the international radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This edition of the program comes to you from the Free Presbyterian Church in Malvern, Pennsylvania. During the next several programs, Dr. Mark Allison, minister of the Malvern Church, will be bringing a special series of messages. Here to introduce the series is Dr. Allison.
This is Mark Allison, and I'd like to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We have been letting the Bible speak this week concerning the great doctrinal truth of being a child of God. What does it mean to be a child of God? We have noted that we are not born children of God. We are creatures of God. But by birth, we are children of wrath, even as others. You have Paul stating that in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 3. But we've also noted that it is possible to become a child of God if we would repent of our sins and believe on Christ. And we want to continue on with that theme today, and we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 1. We'll read down through the first five verses of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. In this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul talks about our sonship. If you are a believer on Christ, you are a child of God because of what Christ has done on your behalf. Here we find that there was a union that you had with Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, we would not know of that union if God did not declare it to us. But if you are a believer, if you've trusted Christ, the relationship that you have with God, and the relationship you have with Christ was part of the purposes of God before the world began. You find in verse 4 that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And this was a choice that God made freely. It was not something forced upon him because of our works or lack of work. We were all sinners. God knew what we would be. God knew that we would indeed rebel against him. And yet in that sea of lost humanity, God chose a people, and he identified those people. He chose those people in Christ. When you come to the book of Isaiah, it calls Christ the elect of God. And because he is the elect of God and we're viewed as being in him, we also are chosen. It is Christ who makes the choice of us as sinners acceptable in God's sight. And so we find here in chapter 1 and verse 4 that we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. But secondly, it says we are predestined unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Now, this verse tells us that God predestined us to become his children. He predetermined that we would become his children. Now, you have a desire to be a child of God. You came and put your faith in Christ if you're saved. Why did you do that? Well, that followed God's own determination to make you one of his children. The believers are not forcing themselves in upon God. Indeed, God has been after them. He is the one who has determined their salvation and purposed their salvation, that they would be a child of God. Would you note that this predestination is also said to be by or through Jesus Christ? It is through the representation and atonement of Jesus Christ. That is the only way we can be accepted into God's family. It is through what Christ would do on our behalf. And so way back in eternity, before the world began, God chose a people and God determined that those people would be his children. But he could only do so if those people had a mediator. if those people had one who would stand in their stead and remove their sins and make them pleasing to God by his own sacrifice and intercession. And so we find in Ephesians 1 and verse 5 that believers were predestined in the past to become the sons of God. But as we read in Scripture concerning our adoption, it is also clear that believers will be glorified in the future as the sons of God. You see this stated in Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. In Romans 8 and verse 23, Paul is comparing the sufferings of this present age with the glory that will be revealed. The glory that's going to be attached, as it were, to the children of God when the whole world will be transformed and the children of God will be transformed. You see this stated in verse 23 of Romans 8. And not only they, that is not only the creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. In the return of Christ, we are completely conformed to the image of Christ. Right now, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit gives us power to put to death the deeds of the flesh. The Spirit gives us power to believe the gospel of Christ. The Spirit gives us power to follow after the work of God, that is to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit comes and from within cries, Abba, Father, giving us assurance of salvation. And in our infirmities, He helps us in our praying. Well, the Spirit's ministry is a glorious ministry in the child of God. But one of the things the Spirit does not do is bring us into complete conformity to the image of Christ. Oh, that's where He's trying to take us. And that's where He is striving with us and trying to get us to repent of sin and put down sin and live in righteousness. But that work is not completed here on this earth. But there's coming a day when the believer will die and go to be with Christ. And heaven is described as that place where the spirits of just men are made perfect. They're just, that is, they're declared righteous here on the earth. They've had their sins removed by the blood of Christ. God has imputed to them the perfect righteousness of Christ. And now their spirits, their souls, that immaterial part of them, when they die and are with Christ, are made perfect. But their bodies are asleep, corrupting in the grave. But in the return of Christ, that is all changed. In the return of Christ, the body is raised. And the body and soul is united again. And those that are here on the earth when Christ comes, their body and their soul will be instantaneously perfected. And they will go to be with Christ. And so when Christ comes, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, when that last trump sounds, according to 1 Corinthians 15, we are going to be transformed. We will be changed. In the book of Philippians, Paul there writes concerning the fact that our vile body, the body of this humiliation, will be changed and made like unto His glorious body. Now that all happens when Christ comes. And because there is this glorious change that takes place, that is called the redemption of our body. Now, our souls are redeemed now, and the redemption of our body is purchased, but it hasn't happened yet. And the time when Christ comes is the time when the redemption of our body will occur. And this is called our adoption. It's part of our adoption. It's part of the legal process. He has adopted us as His children. And in doing so, He's set out for us our future. And part of that future is that we would be perfected. In that day, we'll be made completely like the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We are owned by Him. And in that day, we will be like Him. We will be conformed completely to His image. Now we're predestined. Now we have been called. We've been invited and we've responded to that invitation. Now we are justified. But in that day, we will be glorified. And so the believers were predestined in the past to be the children of God, the sons of God. And believers will be glorified in the future as the sons of God, as the children of God. But when we come to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5, we realize that now, at this moment, we are viewed as His children. Why did Christ come into this world? Well, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says that He came into this world to redeem them that were under the law. Galatians 4 and verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made unto the law. Here is the sending of the Son into this world. He takes to himself a nature like ours. He's made of a woman. He is under the law, so he can be punished by the law, so the condemnation of the law can be put upon him. Why was that? To redeem them that were under the law. So those that were under the law, they were under the condemnation of the law, they were under the sentence of the law, they needed to be redeemed. And so Christ came into this world to redeem those that were under the law. Why? That we might receive the adoption of sons. And then he says, because ye are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit, sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Christ came into the world to redeem. Redeeming is the idea of purchasing by the putting down of a ransom, that is his shed blood as a ransom, his life. When that was put down, he purchased a people. And by this incorruptible blood, we have been purchased and brought to God in salvation. Now, that would leave us a servant. We are owned by God, body and soul. And Paul makes much of that. He says that because our body and soul belong to God, we are to glorify God with our body and soul. We are bond servants. We are slaves of God because we have been purchased by Christ. But this passage tells us that this purchase, this redeeming, was not merely to make us slaves of God, but to make us sons of God. In other words, he came into the slave markets of sin and he purchased us, but he not only brought us to his household and we there serve in the household as servants, as slaves, but he's brought us right into the dining room, as it were, and we are now a part of his family and treated as his family. And it's because of that legal transaction that we call adoption, that the Spirit was sent to take up residence in the heart of the believer. And that Spirit is crying, Abba, Father, giving assurance to the Son of God that he is a son. This relationship with God all of a sudden is an experience in the heart of the sinner. And now he knows he's a child of God. His heart is crying out, Abba, Father. And not only is he a son of God, he's an heir. You have that stated again here in this passage, that he's an heir of God through Christ. Christ is the heir. And we are in Christ, and through Christ, we become heirs as well. Now, when does that become ours? The moment we believe. In Galatians 3 and verse 26, Paul says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. My friend, you're not a child of God because you're a member of a church. You're not a child of God because you were born in this country or another country. You are a child of God when you repent of your sins and you believe on Christ, when you take him as your Lord and your Savior. I would invite you this day to come and lay hold of Christ. If we can be of any help to you in the coming to Christ, call us at 610-993-3170 or write to us at malvernfpc@yahoo.com. MalvernFPC@yahoo.com.